Today on Seculo, in a bizarre messaging shift, President Biden now says to, quote, lock up President Trump.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Can you believe we're finally here? Under 2 weeks until, of course, next Tuesday when we vote for President of the United States. Two Tuesdays from now. Yeah. It felt like we've been talking campaigns. I think we have been talking campaigns since the moment President Trump left office. And the reason why is because the moment President Trump left office, he was facing even more lawsuits and legal challenges from the DOJ, the FBI, you know, raiding Mar-a-Lago. He was in the news the entire time. And people would say, oh, well, that's what Donald Trump wanted to do. But the left media, and of course the leftist in D.C. making decisions to go and try to prosecute a former president and raid his home, you know, dramatically, you know, in Palm Beach kind of setting, and say they're going to take your businesses, they're going to take down, they're going to come and take Trump Tower away. All of those kind of issues that started, as we've had to live with for 4 years. And I think what people are also excited about is that in less than 2 weeks, we will know kind of the style of president that America is seeking. And I think if they are seeking a fighter once again, it's pretty clear who is going to be the champion. And if I look back to history, and Logan and Will, when I look back in history, you'll see these Winston Churchill types who were very strong leaders. Sometimes right after they carried out kind of their mission, they kicked them right back out.
Yeah.
But when they got tough times ahead, what'd they do? They brought them right back in.
Yeah.
And I think that we're kind of potentially seeing that in our country as our Democratic Republic expands to the point where you could see someone may have been bested by such a small number that if they still had such great support, they should definitely run again in 4 years if they want.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we have a different world, but if you look at Israel, I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu is sort of the prime example of someone who has, you know, risen, fall, over and over again. Obviously, they have a different style of government there, but it also feels that way because Donald Trump announced his 2024 run back in November of 2022. So we've had almost two full years of an election cycle. That is not common.
With a lot of law.
And with someone who was the leading candidate the entire time. So there was not the sort of fun of the real primary system of situation and the debates and all of that. So you've had what was Trump-Biden for a year and a half. Then, of course, the change up here in the last few months.
What I hope is that it didn't seem like Joe Biden took any advice from Kamala Harris. I hope Kamala Harris isn't going to try and take any advice from President Biden, or is this one of the, we talked about those three dangerous months if Donald Trump wins, getting to actual inauguration day. Why do I say that? Take a listen to, this is President Biden last night.
This is a guy who also wants to replace every civil servant, every single one, thinks he has a right under the Supreme Court ruling on immunity to be able, if need be, if it was the case, to actually kill someone who is he believes to be a threat to him. I mean, so I know this sounds bizarre. It sounds like if I said this 5 years ago, you'd lock me up. We got to lock him up. Politically lock him up.
Okay.
Politically lock him up.
Do you realize that whole sentence? We're going to break it down when we come back from the break. The idea that we have a sitting president of the United States who most of the time seems like he doesn't know what's going on, but they obviously got him right here. They wanted him to say, let's lock Donald Trump up. So it wasn't Harris having to do the lock him up chant. And this idea that Donald Trump was, he could kill someone who was a threat to him? The man has been shot because of the rhetoric of the Democrat Party, and specifically the rhetoric of people like Joe Biden, liberal senators and congressmen, the DNC, and of course, Kamala Harris. It's like they are trying to get the man killed. Not literally trying to get the man killed. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Ted Cruz is joining us live on the show today. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Seculo. So we are taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. I mean, Logan, do you want to play that one again for people from President Biden?
Because,
again, when we looked at the actual transcribe of this, which we did during the break, we all heard the part about lock him up. But then we were reading the transcribe, and you realize because he's not talking even in close to complete sentences, that you want to make sure you're taking away from him exactly what I guess he meant at the moment. So I think let's listen. Listen closely this time, not just to the lock him up part towards the end, but even at the beginning, take a listen. This is Joe Biden yesterday.
This is a guy who also wants to replace every civil servant, every single one. Thinks he has a right under the Supreme Court ruling on immunity to be able, if need be, if it was the case, to actually eliminate, physically eliminate, shoot, kill someone who is he believes to be a threat to him. I mean, so I know this sounds bizarre. It sounds like I said this 5 years ago, you'd lock me up. We got to lock him up. Political lock him up.
And here's the first issue I have before I even get to the fact that, you know, they want him, that he's a threat to democracy, he's a threat to the world, he's a threat to, he's a fascist, he's a Nazi, he's a, the list goes on. He's some agent of Russia, we've heard that one. How long? But I look at the one about the case where he believes that you could eliminate or physically eliminate and shoot and kill someone who you believe is a threat to you. If someone comes into your house at night, you have the right to kill them in the United States. If you've been someone who's been shot in the ear, which is very close, was supposed to be a kill shot, you're going to be more defensive because why? People, you know, there's lots of people around you, even getting close to you, that want to kill you. So this is the message they thought they wanted to get across. And then on top of that is, now he shouldn't be president. He should be sitting behind bars. For what? Nothing that Donald Trump so far has been charged with criminally. Is he anywhere close to what Hunter Biden was actually being charged with? And he's making out plea deals on this. So just keeping in mind, it's almost like, and I wonder if we're going to see more of this, Will, from Biden to say these kind of wild statements where the campaign can kind of say, you know, it's Biden being Biden, but you get it in people's minds.
Well, exactly.
And you're talking to the hard left.
And this is at the same time that President Obama is going out there and trying to say that it is President Trump that believes this is a divided country, that there are two Americas, the real Americans that support him and those that don't. But in reality, you're seeing the sitting president go out there and make comments like lock him up, which was supposed to be, oh, no, that's what Donald Trump says about his political opponents. And then he tries to salvage it, I feel like, at the end, because I feel like he thinks that if I say it this way, oh, I shouldn't have said that, they're going to be mad at me. I'll say politically lock him up, which once again, politically lock him up almost is worse to me because politically locking someone up evokes political trials, locking up your political opponents.
We are a banana republic.
Exactly.
And we are not the United States of America anymore.
Yeah, if you didn't know he was talking
that
about
enough, is you don't have to have a war. America as we know it, no longer.
If you didn't know he was talking about Donald Trump, you'd think he was talking about Kim Jong-un, or you think he'd be talking about Vladimir Putin. You did not think he'd be talking about a political rival. I don't believe there's really a lot of instances where they're talking about the physical eliminate and shoot and kill someone who, and that's the quote, he believes to be a threat to him.
Well, and remember that Kamala Harris was the one who joked about on the Oprah Winfrey special that they did, that they tried to make it look like her old TV show. Mm-hmm. But she was the one who was laughing about if someone comes in my house at night, they're going to get shot. If he's meaning a threat, and that's clearly the line that Harris believes, but that's where I think he's meaning it even more a political threat or a danger to his presidency.
It more feels like he's talking about a dictator in another country.
I don't think it's not even the reality of the world that we're living in.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Let's go to Carrie, who's calling, who's an ACLJ champion. ACLJ champions, those that give on a monthly recurring basis to the American Center for Law and Justice, and because of them, we're able to do a lot of things, including this broadcast, but you also get priority if you to be on the air. So, Carrie, you're on the air.
Thank you. I wanted to say Biden knows, and Harris, they know exactly what they're talking about. When Harris and Trump had their debate, when she said you're going to hear a bunch of lies, she was talking about herself. Biden and Harris have been doing this and people like them to Trump for 9 years. I want the American people to hear that I have been fighting with Donald Trump for 9 years. So has your dad, Jay. When he was, before he was elected president in 2016, they rode him, the donkeys jumped on, and they have, they do want him to be killed.
Well, I think you know what they figured out, and Carrie, one is, you're absolutely right. The moment he was swearing, you know, being sworn in, they were going after him. So they started with, remember, sending in the FBI agents to go after Flynn. And when Comey was asked about how he did that, he said, well, I knew they were just in flux over there. Usually, of course, you'd have to be invited, or at least you would give notice and request a time. We just walked over and walked right in, and they thought, as Mike Flynn thought at that moment, that obviously someone had probably set this up in meeting and didn't think twice about it. But so he took advantage of an administration that was still moving into the building. That started immediately. And then we had really a bad decision by our first attorney general in this, who is someone we all had a lot of support for. I mean, a lot of you all supported too with Jeff Sessions, but had so much pressure on him during his confirmation process. Remember, it was about Russia. So it all ties to that. And then so he felt because of that confirmation process, it couldn't be the regular DOJ that looks into this Russia issue and ultimately would have gotten to the same conclusion. So he needs to now put someone like Mueller in place, which, by the way, was a could have been a huge distraction to anybody else but Donald Trump. So what they have figured out is lawfare can work in kind of tying you up off a campaign trail. But when you're Donald Trump, it actually gives you more energy and more fire. So what have they switched to now? Extreme rhetoric that could lead to violent acts. Not just violent acts, by the way, Logan and Will, that I think are targeted just at the president, but even like anywhere he is. They want it to be like, if you're around President Trump, the idea of that it's chaotic at the White House, well, it's chaotic everywhere he goes. The point is because people bring in guns and shooting at him.
Yeah, I think you bring up an interesting point where even if you have a Trump victory, that still is a big concern for the next few months, even maybe more so over the next few months of what that will end up looking like in terms of security. Typically things cool down after election. The question is, will they actually cool down? Will you have moments like President Trump, who went out there and said after he did the whole locker up to Hillary, because we got to say that's how it all started. But then after he won, said, okay, that was political rhetoric. We don't necessarily mean that. Is that going to happen now? Are they going to say, okay, President Trump, are you going to see President Biden at a Trump inauguration? I'm not so sure. I don't know how that all rolls out. Of course, you didn't see President Trump at Biden's inauguration. The political climate is so much different right now than it has been historically over the last, let's say 20 years, that things are very tense, and we are headed towards a week away, actually 2 weeks away from the general election, but potentially a much longer road to get to any sort of change, even if it is Harris. And look, we have to figure out what the fallout is of that as well. It's going to be a very different world for the next 3 months. You've already seen a Joe Biden that has almost been forgotten, that has almost been a lame duck before he's even obviously a lame duck, but a lame duck presidency and almost a forgotten character in all of this. You saw much more publicity last night for Barack Obama coming out with Eminem. That is happening more. You're seeing more publicity for that than anything that Joe Biden has to say, except for in these moments where there's what would kind of be a gaffe.
Well, in reality, it was at a event in Concord, New Hampshire, rather. Not a place that has been kind of on the target list of states that could be a swing state in this election. Sometimes New Hampshire is, yeah. In previous elections. It typically is one of those like red herring states where they make you think that maybe it could go one way, but it's been pretty reliably Democrat for president in our lifetime. The difference here is that they are sending him to states that don't even really seem competitive as far as the polls look to do these events. It's not an event that should have gotten any coverage really whatsoever, except for the fact that the sitting president of the United States is talking about the rival party's nominee who is up against his vice president currently, was his former opponent, and saying we should lock him up, and then tries to couch it with the politically lock him up language. It doesn't pass the smell test, but the reason that it's only reason it's news is because Joe Biden said it at a place that was supposed to not get covered at all.
And his Department of Justice is prosecuting Donald Trump. So we are looking into the potential ramifications of President Biden's statement. Now, I tried to save it at the end. Is that enough? But it does show you that this is the mode they're in. Even if he was to win, they're going to still try and lock him up and also tie him up and scare people away from joining his administration so that he gets stuck with a cabinet that isn't totally up for the job, which we saw in round one of the Trump cabinet. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. And you don't want to miss it, folks, because
Ted Cruz is joining us.
And Texas, especially for Senator Cruz, this is needs to be on your radar if you've got money to support as well. We'll be right back with Ted Cruz. All right, welcome back to Secula. A great friend of ours, someone who is so important to the conservative movement, U.S. Senator Ted Cruz, joining us now. And Senator Cruz, first off, 2 weeks out, you know, less than 2 weeks out before your election. So I want to thank you for taking the time to speak to our listeners all over the country and let them know that they need to be paying attention, because they love you, Ted, on our listeners, but they need to be paying attention to your race and supporting your campaign.
Well, thank you. You're right. We have a very, very serious fight right now in Texas. I'm in the middle of a 53-stop bus tour all over the state of Texas. Was just down in the Rio Grande Valley, was in McAllen last night, was in Harlingen this morning, driving to Rio Grande City and then to Laredo today. We've been in East Texas, West Texas, every part of the state. And we are fighting vote for vote, one vote at a time. And the reason is simple, which is that Chuck Schumer has been explicit that I'm his number one target in the country. And Schumer and George Soros are flooding the state with cash. They are spending over $100 million trying to beat me. You turn on every TV and every other ad is an attack ad slamming me. They are flooding the state with cash. And we have had multiple polls. We've had over a dozen polls in the last month that show this is a 1-point race or a 2-point race or a 3-point race, which is why they're investing so much money and we're getting just massively outspent.
I will say it to you, Senator. I was in outside Dallas at an event at Prestonwood Baptist Church on these very kind of issues. I know Jack Graham is a good friend of yours and a supporter. And, you know, I was speaking out and we were talking about this very issue about how the left is targeting races all around the country. And I said, your senator here in Texas is the scalp they want. Even if they lose the general election by taking out Ted Cruz, because, I mean, seriously, Ted, we've talked about it before behind the scenes. Senator Cruz is our voice for the most part, for most of our listeners here on this broadcast, has been our voice and still is our voice in what can sometimes be a Senate, Ted, that people come in strong and come in sounding like they're pretty conservative or very conservative. And quickly, I guess there's just something in the magic of the Senate or the water there that turns them into everybody wants to be a moderate and compromise.
No, it's infuriating that so many people get elected to the Senate and they promise great things. And then they get there and they just get sucked in by leadership. They get sucked in by the swamp. And within a year or two, they're unrecognizable. And you know, it is unfortunate, but there are only a handful of people in the Senate who have backbone, who have guts, who will stand and fight, who will fight for conservative principles. And that's a big part of the reason why, if you look nationally, if you are a hardcore partisan Democrat, after Donald Trump, there is nobody on planet Earth you want to beat more than me. And so every left-wing Democrat in New York and Chicago and San Francisco, they go online and they give millions of dollars to my Democrat opponent. My opponent has been statewide on TV for over 4 months. I just went up on TV about 3 weeks ago. So we're getting massively outspent. So I want to ask your listeners, I need your help. Please come to tedcruz.org, and make a contribution right now, whatever you can, $10, $25, $50, $100. Maybe some of you could do $500 or $1,000 or even more. What I can tell you is every bit counts. And right now, Chuck Schumer and George Soros, Schumer just announced yesterday he was dropping several million more into the state of Texas, and we're just getting flooded. And we're at the stage now, it is literally the hand-to-mouth phase. So if you go to tedcruz.org right now, you make a contribution right now, by tomorrow, the money you give will be up on TV communicating with voters. And I got to tell you, Jordan, this race is going to come down to a simple binary question. If we raise enough money to communicate to the voters where they can hear my record and my opponent's record, we'll win.
Yeah.
But if we don't, we will lose, because $100 million, my opponent is a hard left radical Democrat. His voting record was 100% with Nancy Pelosi. He's voted for open borders over and over again. He's voted against Israel over and over again. He said he wishes the Second Amendment had never been written, and yet he's desperately trying to hide from that record, just like Kamala Harris. And with $100 million, we were just looking at polling numbers. There are a substantial number of Texans who still think the guy is moderate, despite the fact that he votes 100% with Nancy Pelosi. And that's simply a money differential. But it's dangerous, because if they continue to think that, he could end up winning. And once he wins, there's no going back.
Yeah, I mean, because Senator Cruz, when I was there, and so I was only there for one night, but I had the local news on. They'd interviewed you, and then they showed an interview with him. And they asked him about, Trump and this issue of, how are you talking to Trump voters, and why would they vote for Trump, but also you? And he had this answer, which of course he knows is not right, because he said, people should be just voting for what's best for Texas, and that's it. Well, it's great. And obviously, that's your number one priority as a senator. You talk about a lot of national issues. We love that you do that, because all senators need to be involved in and are involved in more than just what's happening in their state. But their state is their priority, of course. But he said you could do that and it wouldn't necessarily hurt Donald Trump. But then I think about it, Ted. I think, well, if you have an unfriendly Senate, Donald Trump can't get people through the confirmation process. So you know who we end up with, Ted? As we've talked about, more of these kind of candidates that are compromise appointments that usually turn into enemies of the sitting president that appointed them.
Well, there's a reason Donald Trump has endorsed my campaign. There's a reason that Trump and I did a teletown hall just this week. We had over 1 million Texans that we reached out to be part of the teletown hall, because if and when Trump is reelected, he can't accomplish a fraction of what needs to be done without a Republican Senate and without strong conservative leaders in that Republican Senate. You know, when Trump was president the first time, I was by far his strongest ally in the U.S. Senate. If and when he's reelected in November, I will again be his strongest ally in the U.S. Senate. But the left wants to take me out, because there just aren't many senators who actually stand and fight, who lead, who can go and take it to the Democrats, take it to their witnesses, take it to Alejandro Mayorkas, take it to Merrick Garland, lay out the case, and do so with a smile. There are few things that terrify the left more than a happy warrior who believes in freedom, believes in the Constitution, is proud to defend religious liberty, is proud to defend people of faith, to defend Christians, and is not scared, is not embarrassed. Look, in Texas, Schumer and Soros are spending over $40 million just on abortion. They are the party of abortion. And again, the polls show this as a 1-2 or 3-point race. If they win in Texas, simply being for abortion in all circumstances with no limits whatsoever. Kamala Harris just did an interview where she was asked, would you even allow religious liberty exceptions for abortion? She said, no, why would I do that? So she's talking about forcing Catholic hospitals and evangelical doctors to perform abortions. That's how radical they've gotten. And if that message were to win in Texas, the consequences nationally for people of faith, for the pro-life movement, for religious liberty, for believers would be devastating. For the pro-Israel movement, I have been for 12 years the strongest defender of Israel in the Senate. My opponent consistently opposes Israel, has voted against military aid to Israel, has supported giving $100 billion to Iran. If we were to lose, the consequences are significant. So let me just reiterate, please go to tedcruz.org, tedcruz.org right now, and contribute. We need your help right now.
Ted, we wanted the whole country to know that, all of our listeners. We're going to be right back on Seculum.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculum. And now your host, Jordan Seculum.
All right, welcome back to Seculum. We want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We want to hear about early voting. If you've had issues with election integrity, maybe you've signed up to be a poll watcher. Have you experienced any issues with that? Because those are all issues we really, as attorneys, and we're putting together even more that we're going to launch soon, and plenty of time through for the election for you to get to us. But if you're starting to see early moves where, you know, poll watchers aren't allowed in, or they're being harassed, or you don't think that things are going right, the way that people maybe spoke to you, treat you, I mean, all of that, this kind of intimidation factor that people even inside try to do. We're in a state where they kind of shout out which ballot you got. I mean, even that, most of the time, again, you're pretty proud of who you support, but it's this feeling like you think it's this anonymous feeling. It never really is. So if you feel like, though, that's crossed over into like a legal issue, always feel free to go to aclj.org/help. There's never, again, an issue that's too small or a question that's too small. And if we can help you, we will help you. And if we think someone else could do it because the ACLJ can't, we will get you that information as well. And Logan, too, when we have on active politicians, we always want to make sure everybody knows, even though we're very close with Ted. I mean, he's worked so hard on so many issues with us. I go back to, you know, Saeed Abedini kneeling down before the White House and things like with us.
Yeah, he's definitely been a friend. And we do have calls related to the election integrity. We'll take one of those in a second. But we did want to let everyone know, just for clarity, that you just heard from Ted Cruz. We have reached out to his opponent, Congressman Colin Allred's campaign, about sharing his vision for Texas on our broadcast. So make sure that that's clear as well. Let's go ahead and take one of these calls. Let's go to Jane, who's calling in Texas, watching on Rumble, our favorite free speech platform. Jane, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Ted Cruz is right. They're really spending a lot of money here in Texas on that guy, Colin Allred, really painting him as a really bad guy, Ted Cruz. I'm also wanted to say that you guys really need swag. I have your bumper sticker on my car, and I'm super proud of it. Thank you. I wish you guys would have more. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to. First, Jane, I'll let you go. Right now, I don't want to be even trying to compete with Trump swag, because I think I'd still be. It's too good. The dark MAGA hat, the McDonald's shirt, they're on the way to my house right now.
We have a dark ACLJ hat. That's just internals, but maybe we can get one to Jane. I don't know. Maybe Jane, stay on hold. Maybe we'll send you one.
By the way, it is something we're thinking about, Jane, but go ahead with your question.
Okay, so I went to vote yesterday, early voting. There's a long line. It was really great. When I went in, I asked if you needed an ID to vote, and they said, yes, you do need a picture ID. It doesn't even have to be a driver's license. And I said, well, you have to be a U.S. citizen. And they said they weren't allowed to ask that. I'm just curious. Is that like you're not allowed to ask if you're a U.S. citizen? It's just crazy to me.
I want you to stay on hold, Jane. We want to do more information about, you know, what I don't want to have you say this on the air, what county you're voting in, what district you're voting in. But if you stay on the line, we are going to get you in contact with an attorney right now. And that attorney then will be able to, and I'm an attorney as well, but I know I need to tell him to ask. But it's, again, to tell them exactly what happened and how it came about. Because, again, usually when you go in, it's kind of like going to the DMV and you're like, do I need to bring other documentation with me here? I kind of get always nervous before. And that's because I've moved a lot. So sometimes I don't have the license. My driver's license doesn't match the state that I've now been in long enough to vote, which is usually like 90 to 120 days, not long.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times I'll bring the passport. So I know it doesn't have to necessarily, in most states, have to match up yet with the actual state, as long as you're in the system. But the idea that they said, you know, you can't ask if the voter's a U.S. citizen, that seems extreme. It's not like you would do that to everybody who's Hispanic, but I guess if someone asked you too, like what if they came in with questions? Which is part of the reason why we want people who are here legally not to get in trouble by thinking they are allowed to vote. Because if you're on the voter rolls, you're getting all these get out the vote messages, and then you could end up being prosecuted for a federal crime. So that it's actually, again, trying to protect
lawful permanent residents who we need in the United States of America. We'll take more of your phone calls, and Logan, we need the support from people.
Absolutely.
Because like you said, we're ready to go. We might have another one. We just got that call.
Yep, a lot of calls coming in, 1-800-684-3110, and support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. And the next one, we're going to talk about those controversial life comments that came from Harris yesterday.
Welcome back to Seculo. Now, again, we had a great friend of ours, Senator Ted Cruz, on. And listen, you know, we don't have a lot of people running for office, you know, 13 days out before the election on the broadcast, because, again, it's not the purpose, 100% purpose of the show. But when you have someone like a Ted Cruz, who has been with the ACLJ on like every single brief, where he's, when we needed him to be, to take and bring more attention to persecuted Christians around the world that we were representing. Not only were we doing the interviews, but when Ted did an interview, he would always make sure to include that. When we went to the White House, in front of the White House, like a grassroots activist, I have the picture in my room that someone took, still in my office here, of the group of us that went, and we were all kneeling and praying along with Senator Cruz. So that voice in the Senate that so much resembles, I think, how, what you think and your ideas, he was way ahead of the movement that we're kind of experiencing now in the Republican Party, which is finally becoming that big tent party that can not only include Ted Cruz, but we'll talk about our colleague more tomorrow, Tulsi Gabbard, that now includes Tulsi Gabbard. So I think that that's just awesome. And of course, well, if the other candidate, Colin Allred, wants to come on to our questioning, we'd love to have him. So far, we don't get many Democrats on here.
And we always ask, though.
But we do ask, and we would be happy to have them on. And we'd be at least fair. We're going to bring up, of course, our differences, but we're not going to be jumping all over them and telling them they're the worst person in the world, nothing like that. It's not trying to hit them. It's also saying, okay, what do you want to tell people who support our issues? How could they possibly, you know, cast a vote for someone who's never voted differently from Nancy Pelosi and online? But this is also, Will, goes to this kind of, again, bigger messaging, which is, Ted brought up abortion. He brought up the fact that Harris not only wants no limits on abortion, but also if you're a nurse or a doctor, no conscience protections whatsoever.
That's right. And this is something we've actually fought for, these conscience protections, for decades at the ACLJ. And Hallie Jackson had an interview with Kamala Harris last night on NBC News. And honestly, the vice president had to take the whole day off to prepare for it. The campaign said she is taking the day off, getting ready for this interview. But we heard this, and Ted Cruz actually referenced it in just a couple segments ago, about when she was asked about making concessions and being pragmatic when it comes to the issue of abortion. And here's how the vice president responded. Let's go ahead and play bite five.
So is a question of pragmatism then, what concessions would be on the table? Religious exemptions, for example, is that something that you would consider?
I don't think we should be making concessions when we're talking about a fundamental freedom to make decisions about your own body.
To Republicans like, for example, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, who would back something like this on a Democratic agenda if, in fact, Republicans control Congress, would you offer them an olive branch? Or is that off the table? Is that not an option for you?
I'm not going to engage in hypotheticals because we can go on with a variety of scenarios. Let's just start with a fundamental fact. A basic freedom has been taken from the women of America. The freedom to make decisions about their own body. And that cannot be negotiable. Which is that we need to put back in the protections of Roe v. Wade. And that is it.
Okay. Protections of Roe v. Wade, and that's it. I want to go to Cece Howe, because Cece, the protections with Roe versus Wade, did they prevent the conscience clause?
No, exactly. She does not know what she's talking about. She never does.
No. I think sometimes on this they do. This is how they gaslight. Remember when they told us during the convention, their convention theme was freedom, and you listen closely, and it's freedom if you do everything that we like. You can be free to go down the street wearing everything you want, unless it's a MAGA hat. But the idea, again, that adding on that, not only are we not going to have any limits on abortion and somehow, which by the way, also Roe did not say.
Exactly.
So two major lies there in the interview. This idea that the conscience clause was part of Roe and that Roe was abortion till with no restrictions.
Absolutely. And that statement when she's saying, you know, we need to put back in the protections of Roe and that's it. Well, she's going way further than that. She's saying there are absolutely no protections, that there are no, you know, religious or conscience exemptions. Again, like the partial birth abortion or the ban on late term abortion or the informed consent or the parental consent or the waiting periods and ultrasounds and abortion clinic regulations. All of those things came in under the Roe v. Wade the opinion from Roe v. Wade. And so that is, she's just wrong on what she is saying. Absolutely, there are exceptions. And she's saying absolutely not, there's not. Abortion is a right and it trumps all other rights.
And you think about this, for committed Christians, both Protestants and Catholics, who predominantly, even in most Protestant churches, there are some that don't, but predominantly, and in all Catholic churches, and many other religious faith backgrounds, there are medical professionals, both from nurses and doctors and everybody in between there, that believe that would be the taking of a human life. Now, an emergency situation where there is actually an issue that tough for families to choose, where sometimes they say, listen, we can save one person here, but we can't save both. That's up to the husband and the wife to make that call at that moment if they can. That's really why the procedure itself was even created. Was that at least it would be two people deciding because of a serious, but that's a very small percent of, I don't even know if I'd consider that abortion. They try to throw it in there as a scare tactic.
Yes.
That's never been an issue. But the second part of this is just the amount of money pouring in. When you listen to someone like Ted Cruz, every other ad that was negative on him was abortion. The other ads were about Donald Trump. So it was either Donald Trump or abortion. Back and forth, back and forth. And they tried to spin it so somehow Ted is not tough on the border. And it's some liberal Democrat who votes with Nancy Pelosi all the time is going to what? You're not going to build the wall.
Right. And Jordan, back to the Kamala Harris clip that she keeps talking about, the bottom line of fundamental freedom has been taken away from Americans. As every Democrat does, they completely ignore the fundamental freedom of life that they are taking away from the child. But just the fact that she so casually taking her party publicly 13 days from the election so much further to the left on abortion as their leading candidate. There's no room for pragmatism, which I know many on the right would say there's no room for pragmatism for many people that are supporters of the pro-life position as well. But when she says even forcing people to perform abortions in a hospital setting or a doctor. Basically, what she's saying is if you go to your doctor who has a conviction against performing abortion and you want to force them to do that procedure, they should have to. And in even the late term abortion issue that they try to say, this is a red herring, this doesn't exist. The Atlantic magazine, not by any means a conservative publication, a couple weeks ago, and Cece and I talked about this, actually just 1 week ago, had an article, yes, third trimester abortions are happening here in America. And it goes into, in Colorado, the numbers that they are seeing, and it's in the hundreds a year, which is, frankly, as a pro-life supporter, was more than I expected from a single state like Colorado. But also the doctors they interviewed in Maryland, in D.C., in Colorado said, yeah, most of them, probably about half of them, are completely viable, healthy pregnancies. So even the lie that no one would ever have a late-term abortion unless it was for a medically necessary means, even the doctors performing these are debunking this, Cece. And right. this is the reality that we're trying to debunk from the left, the misinformation.
Right.
The idea, Cece, that we would have no conscience protections in the United States of America for doctors and other medical professionals goes against kind of everything that our country stands for, even when it comes down to war. There are conscientious objectors, which the Supreme Court and our legal system acknowledges that if you're someone of deep faith that believes that conflict's wrong, you could still be an American. And if there is a draft or if something like that, there are other ways you can serve is what they'll do and say, but it doesn't have to be in a combat or military role.
Right. And that, again, that protection, that conscience protection was still there. She's trying to wipe it out, saying that Roe v. Wade does not protect that. She's trying to wipe it out. And, you know, they gloss over this third trimester abortions aren't happening, too, because they know a majority of Americans don't agree with that. They don't want late term abortions. They do recognize that that is taking the life of a baby, and they don't agree with that. And so they always have to twist and spin everything to get their point across.
That's right. And at the ACLJ, we will continue to fight for the conscience objections of individuals. If you are a medical care provider and this outrages you, become a member of the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org, support us, because this is the fight we have ahead if in just 13 days Kamala Harris is to become the president of the United States elect. And we will not stop fighting. And so go to aclj.org today and support us.
That's right. We need your support. We are already talking to people who've called in on election integrity issues. They've already had issues. If you don't feel like calling in and you're not that kind of person, but you want to still get our help, you go to aclj.org/help. We'll be launching something even bigger for you very soon, but we want to get ahead of every issue, and we want you to understand that we're a resource for you. And the reason why we can be that resource for people in all 50 states when it comes to election integrity and getting you potentially the help that you need if there's an issue that arises that way is because of your support of the ACLJ. We are prepared, but we always have to have the resources to use that preparation to fight for you. Donate today at aclj.org, whatever you can. Welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls, and that's what we try to do in these segments. And folks, you can see the energy's high. We've got to keep energy high. And in a way that I'm also going to try to keep pumping you up every day as well, because I want you to make sure that you are getting out to vote and that you're getting your friends out to vote. And this is the key. We obviously, candidates need resources, and they all, but the second thing they need is actual votes. And so whether or not you are someone outside of Texas that wants to help Ted Cruz, well, there's a couple ways you can do that. One is, of course, you could donate. Two, if you're in a state where maybe in a red state that's deep red, or in a blue state that's deep blue, but you want to go and still get on the trail, well, Texas is big, and you can plug into many different offices and organizations there to help. We need grassroots volunteers as well. That comes into it as very important in this part of the campaign. Even though we have, I guess tonight will be interesting. We'll talk about it tomorrow with the live, we're being told it's live as of now, town hall that Anderson Cooper is hosting on CNN. Because this is a moment for CNN to say, okay, are you a complete joke? Because you know she, even with questions, I think from Anderson Cooper, of just kind of basic, can you explain why you went from this position to that? Not said in a mean way either, just explain it. That she gets, you know, pretty flustered by questions like that. So again, this is only usually done, Will, by the candidate who is running from behind. I mean, Logan, that's the same thing too. You don't go on and risk a live town hall 13 days out, or is it 12 days out,
yeah,
from an election that is so important.
Well, and I think, honestly, CNN, many could argue, were kind of one of the last straws for Biden. After he failed in that debate, and when you went to the coverage immediately after the debate, all the people on CNN were talking about, this is the end, this is so terrible, he's got to go. Now, I don't know that they would go that far, but if she performs very badly in this setting, I could see their support or their praise for her. And I think a lot of it is self-preservation over at CNN. They don't want to look like the ones that they still try to say maybe they're not biased, that they are hard-nosed journalism and a news network. I could see if she performs so badly with Anderson Cooper that the panel after the town hall has very tepid praise for her instead of glowing over the top, because maybe they see the writing on the wall. Maybe this candidate isn't able to do this.
And, you know, what's interesting is that instead of doing these, like, things for CNN, I'm a Theo Von listener. People may know who that is who are listening to our broadcast. You may not. He's a very funny guy from the South. He's quick, but he has on very serious interviews lots of times, not just celebrities or musicians, but politicians. I think this time I've heard him interviewed Bernie Sanders, the Teamsters Union. He's done Donald Trump. Yeah. He's just released his interview they did this week in Nashville with J.D. Vance. So you can go and listen to that. And again, Donald Trump has now confirmed he's going on Joe Rogan. So what I was going to say, Logan, is that what they're doing is saying, okay, I have been all over Fox News. They're talking about me nonstop, CNN and MSNBC. Where can I do media to reach people that will be those extra votes potentially? Though it's a little bit riskier, a Joe Rogan type show is perfect for Donald Trump, because if it does get in a tit for tat, the man loves it.
Yeah, and
he's not going to get, even if you said, if it tried to be Dave, I mean, he can get back at Joe Rogan. He's not afraid of him.
Yeah, and they've already said roughly this is going to be a normal Rogan 2 to 3 hour interview.
Yeah.
This is not going to be some going in for 8 minutes like Harris did with Bret Baier, where they cut him short and did all that. This could be a long form moment, but also you have to look at the listenership, and the listenership and the viewership of the Joe Rogan Experience is it's so much bigger than anything you could do on cable television, so much bigger than you could do television.
What are the numbers of
over 11 million? I think
each episode.
Yes, I believe.
That's kind of the average for a standard episode.
It's going to be a lot more.
Well,
yeah,
and,
sure.
And also, I think you have to look at the.
He's going to ask questions that most of these mainstreams wouldn't ask, which is, you know, what's your position? I think on like kind of the marijuana legalization.
It's actually grown to almost 15 million.
Psychedelics being different questions that are necessarily. The food questions, like with, I think that he's very into that, asked of like RFK Jr.
Health-related stuff.
Trump bringing him in, I think that that's a great way for Trump to, you know, I'm bringing in a Kennedy because I too don't want my kids and grandkids with, you know, eating food that has got all these chemicals in it that doesn't have to have all these chemicals in it. And in most developed world, most of what our food is actually legally banned. In most other parts of the world. I do want to take some of the phone calls, though, too. We got a few. We maybe do a rapid fire right now.
Yeah, let's try to get through it quick. So if you're on the air, please just go quick. Cindy in Texas, watching on YouTube, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thank you for all that you all do. I watch you all the time. So my question is back to the voting integrity. I did vote yesterday during early voting, and... I was trying to verify my vote, and another YouTuber, Next News Network, one of the recommendations was to take a picture of the ballot. And so I was going to do that in the process. I had my phone. And I was informed that, first of all, I was not allowed to have electronics, which they saw my phone through the whole process.
That's not true. You can have your phone with you, of course, now in America. I think the issue is this, Cindy. Are you talking about like after you voted on a screen, that printout they hand you?
Right.
Okay, that printout most of the time would not even necessarily, does it even have the actual, it's computerized. You are not supposed to be taking pictures
inside
polling places. I don't know what would happen if you did take a picture like the computer screen. I'm not sure they would care as much about that. Yeah. Though I'm not telling you should go ahead and do that. But that's why, is that it's supposed to be a place where, again, people feel like they're waiting in line to vote. It's something very protected in the United States. If you know who you voted for and you checked it twice, again, I get the idea behind it, but there is also that ban. And maybe it's something that needs to be discussed because technology is different in the future. But as of right now, I don't think any states, I'm not going to say none, all, but I don't think many states would allow you to take any photos once you're outside of that box.
Yeah. All right, let's go quickly to Jefferson on line 4. You're on the air.
Hey, Jefferson.
Good morning. I'm calling from Gooding, Idaho. How are you?
We're good.
We are running out of time, though, so go ahead.
All right, I'll make it short and quick. I'll get right to the point. Give Donald Trump a chance. Give him what he needs. Get her out of office, because if she gets into office, the United States is going to go the wrong direction.
Well, I think we're already on the wrong direction. But you know what the good thing is? We can right this ship. You know, in 4 years, you're not going to be, a country like ours can't be totally thrown off a course. But, you know, 8 years and maybe 12 years, yeah, you definitely can. And it could be a country you don't recognize, and not in a way that's positive, because we always want to be doing better when it comes to racial relations. We always do it better to make sure that women do have the same ability for the same jobs. And I think we've been doing a good job of that in the United States. It's never perfect. It's never perfect. It's also never going to be, because we're in a country that allows people to say things that you may not like and that you may disagree with strongly. But even that is under attack by this current administration. And a vote for Harris is a vote for a continuation of what we've seen the federal government do to Donald Trump while he's outside of office. So if they'll do it to him, I always say this, they've already done it to us during the Tea Party days. They'll do it to you again. So we have a real vested interest here in getting the right folks elected top down. And we make sure at the ACLJ, whoever you are and whoever you're voting for, that we want to protect your right to vote. So if you need help, go to aclj.org/help. Like questions like that, we can get you answers or get you to an attorney if it's someone that needs to be outside the ACLJ. And other issues, we had that caller stay on and got her information. Support us. We do need your donations today so we can help everyone at aclj.org. Donate today.